Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I used to record right here in my vehicle on my drive to work as a high school instructional coach in Washington, D.C. But today, it's a very special edition of Talk to Me in the Car because I am not in the car. I am here in Carola. Look at that, Carola, North Carolina. Carola or Carola, North Carolina. I am here on an extended teaching sabbatical because I'm teaching remotely because my school has made the shift due to an overabundance of caution to a temporary full virtual model. And today we're talking about all different things that are presented with that. Because as an instructional coach, I lead a lot of trainings and I do a lot of listening about best practices in education. And as we're in this pivot, maybe your school has been in person, maybe you've done the online thing, maybe you've done the in-person and online hybrid or high flex thing, and you're quite tired of hearing the word cohort, etc. We're here for you and all that stuff today. And we're going to walk through some of those hassles and some of those headaches, some of those best practices as we make these shifts to whatever this new now is, goodness me, as we're figuring out how to make best sense of making our way through this school year, which is going to be a different year no matter what you're doing. More on that in a second, but first things first, if you like what you're hearing, I'm on Twitter, at MeehanEDU. I'd love to talk further with you about this or anything else that's about teaching. New episodes drop every Monday, if I remember to push the button, so thank you for those who are leaving ratings and comments on your favorite podcasting app. I sincerely appreciate it. I also have a website. It's www.edadrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational edadrenaline. That's where I share templates and resources, all my social media stuff. Anything you want, use it, take it. I also wrote a book. It's called Adrenaline Rush, all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms, because we all need a break from that traditional academic. And I think that those are great ways to get our kids excited to learn. Now, speaking of a break from traditional academic, here we are. It's crazy. So our school decided in, I guess, August to go back on this hybrid model. The plan would be Mondays would be a full virtual day. Everyone would dial in for a 20-minute or 30-minute class. And then we would do students in like blocks or cohorts where they would dial in either Tuesday, Thursday, or Wednesday, Friday. So you see half the kids and only see them in person one day a week. That would cut down the amount of exposure and the risk of bumping into each other and all those things make sense. And then we could meet with students individually on the Monday calls or as a group on Monday calls to go over whatever we need to go over. Typically, that would be like a tee up the week voice thread or video chat. We'd say, hey guys, if nothing else, here's the three things we have to know for this week's stuff. Because it's tough, and a lot of teachers have understandably had a hard time with that as we're working on it, because it means that everyone's working kind of with like 30% less face-to-face time with their kids every week. And then they're doing, I guess, instead of 150 classes a year, we're at like 36 classes a year. Now, though the time is commensurate with the online stuff, plus the amount of work we're expecting from students, there's not that day-to-day interaction. It's a real challenge. And for many teachers, hybrid teaching, if you're in the hybrid model, really is the worst of both worlds, right? You have to do all of the full virtual stuff, but you're also expected to do the stuff that you would do in person, and you get piled under with a preponderance of grades and behavioral things. Students who are showing up not in uniforms or their cameras aren't on or whatever that looks like. And it could create a hassle or a change. So I want to talk about yesterday as I led some trainings for my own faculty. As we made this shift to this full, I won't call it like 24/7 virtual model. It's more like a emergency, like precautionary virtual model. Because a traditional full virtual model is, all right, guys, every day we're dialing in for a Zoom call at 4 o'clock in the afternoon or at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or at 11 o'clock in the morning. And you do that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Every kid dials in and again and again. Instead, my school is keeping the model as if we were in regular school. Monday is the tee-up day where we make the phone call with everybody. And then we spend the rest of the week doing a full virtual cohort, but keeping the in-person school schedule. So I'll see half my students on Tuesday for a full 80 minutes. I'll see the other half of my students on Wednesday, then rinse and repeat Thursday, Friday for the other half of the students. Weird. And it doesn't really seem to make too much sense when you look at it in the big picture of it, because a lot of schools are doing the we dial in every day, and that's what school is. But I think the big secret with all of it, and I wanted to kind of give, you know, maybe some patience and some grace to myself and to anybody else who might be doing the same thing, is this year is going to be a different year. There's no way around that. We will not get through the same amount of content we would have gotten through. We will not have a chance to make the same depth of relationships. We will not have a chance to make the same breadth of assignments. We will not have a chance to have those rich, deep discussions because Zoom calls, as good as we can try to be with them, are still very one by one. People have to take their turns and wait for those conversations. So I want to share some professional tips that I found that have worked for me and for my teachers and the work I do as a writer and a consultant today. Because everything I've sort of spelled out today is, well, that sounds just like the whole thing's a mess. And yeah, it can be. So I have my magnificent seven things like that I found really helpful. You could take them or leave them, but I find them to be things that have worked with teachers. Again, you don't have to do all of the things. Do one of the things. Do it to a point where you feel comfortable with it, and then grow it to that next level. I've done other podcasts. You can go back and binge listen to any of those things. But my magnificent seven for like this emergency hybrid thing is to start every class, number one, with a professionalism check. A professionalism check could vary based on what the standards of your school or your district are. But for me, in our school, we're a Catholic school, so we used to start with like a prayer and everyone come in. We'd also check uniforms and make sure that cell phones were away or properly stowed as if we're getting on a flight. But I love that language. Hey guys, it's a professionalism check. Just take a quick minute. Let's make sure we're all where we're supposed to be. Just like if you're driving on the highway, you wouldn't want someone driving on the opposite highway with their bright lights on late at night because it would blind you. Let's just make sure that our cameras, if our cameras are on, aren't blindingly bright behind us if there's a camera with a window behind our heads, right? So starting with that professionalism check, it's a nice way without calling anybody out to say, hey, we're all on the same page. We all want the same things. Let's make sure we can all see and hear each other. Quick mic check early, a quick conversation starter, a quick warm-up activity where there are no wrong answers. You just want a chance to hear everyone's voice or see them in the chat. They don't have to be all on camera if you don't feel comfortable with that, if your school has different requirements, certainly. But making sure you check that stuff early, because then students don't feel like they're put on the spot later when you have to address any, you know, off-task behaviors or misbehaviors. And I think I've been very clear on this podcast. Frankly, I have no problem with student, quote, misbehavior in this time of COVID, because what we're looking at is not normal for these poor kids. And if they're taking some time to log off for their computer or to look away from their machine more than 2% of the time, or they lose 5 points on their tests, we have to be human. We have to recognize that there are kids going through this. And if we're trying to make sense of it, building more systems of compliance that simply are designed to snap everyone into shape so they all do it the same way, I just think it's exhausting. So again, first thing is a professionalism check, and then kind of get out of the way. Don't feel the need to please that later, because if you just talk about it early, just, hey guys, make sure we're all buckled up, we're all in the right seats, and the lights are facing the way they're supposed to be, you know, our windshield wiper fluid is good, and we can kind of go on this long ride together and do whatever you need to do, whether that's with younger students, older students, or really anything in between. So yeah, professionalism check, number one. Number two, if you have not already done so, you have to check out Padlet. Padlet is super easy. Padlet is a great way to create a parking lot where people can drop little sticky notes and start a virtual conversation. I think Padlet lets you have the first 8 or so pads for free, like a virtual corkboard. You just share the link and anybody can share their post-it notes right there in it. If you want to, I think it has a profanity filter built in where you can have it so that it requires them to put their name on their sticky notes. And that's great for any sort of just warm-up activity. Hey guys, what was your favorite holiday memory? Post. And as we're approaching the holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's, Kwanzaa, students can post up the things that they're most interested in. There's no right or wrong answer. I just want to see their thoughts on a page, right? Padlet is great because after you've used that pad or that board, you can go ahead and delete everything from that board or screenshot it and then use it again and again and again. It's a nice little hack that gets you a free version of how to use it and save some bucks, because I really hate having to pay money for educational technology if I can avoid it. So yeah, for tip number two, Padlet is amazing. Having students drop in a conversation where it's just a, you know, on a scale of 1 to 5, how are we feeling on this, guys? Write your name and why you felt what you felt. A little bit of that metacognition. It could be in a science classroom. Hey, you know, what's the weirdest food you ever ate in a unit? This ought to be about biology and digestion, right? Or in a math class talking about how far do you think it is from the Earth to, you know, Jupiter? Let him just make guesses. Talking about, you know, prognosticating, estimating, rounding numbers, things like that. It's a nothing burger of an assignment, but just giving students some time to play in that virtual sandbox where it creates the opportunities for collision and a sense of endowed progress, where students can feel that what they're contributing is part of a larger whole. And they feel that, hey, I brought just one brick to this wall, but I saw in 30 seconds the whole wall was built. That's kind of cool. All I had to do was bring one thing, and then the whole thing fills itself. So I really love Padlet. It's an awesome way to do that. If you have not used Padlet, my tip number three is Jamboard for my Magnificent Seven. Jamboard is a Google extension or Google tool. It is totally free as long as you have the Google Suite. And it is awesome. Imagine a virtual whiteboard. You can't do much with it, but you can do everything with it. As if I was writing on my whiteboard in class, I can draw pictures, I can draw words, I can make lines and shapes, I can put virtual sticky notes, and then I give shared access to my students. And what Jamboard allows us to do is imagine I had had a whiteboard in my classroom and then a whole stack of magic markers, and then took those magic markers and handed them to my students. And I said, all right, now you guys go on up to the board and write what you want. And they're like, are you serious? Yep, 100%. Shared annotation access to our shared whiteboard. Students love it. Love, love, love the ability to take a virtual whiteboard marker and scrawl all over a shared space. That could be used for you as the teacher if you had the, you know, the question, and then they sort of, on the count of three, one, two, three, they show their whiteboard, so you could do that. Or it could be you have, you know, like a PDF or a JPEG of a problem or a diagram, and then you post it up, and then they have the ability to annotate right there in the shared document. And the beauty is, if you're doing this on Zoom, everyone in the class can see what they are annotating in real time, and you can kind of have them narrate or unmute to walk through the decisions about why they've done what they've done. I really love Jamboard. It's very, very easy to use. It's one of those great hidden tricks inside of the Google Suite that I've only just recently gotten into, but absolutely worth it. If you hit the new button in your Google Drive, slide down where it says more, and Jamboard is right there. It'll take you 2 seconds to learn, and it is infinite in its possibilities. Like I said, it can't do much, but it can do everything. Awesome, awesome tool. For number four, if you have used Padlet and you like Padlet, if you have used Jamboard or you want to use Jamboard, consider using Google Slides. Google Slides is totally collaborative as well, and you can give a collaborative access to an entire class to a blank slide deck, and then let them, Billy works on slide one, Johnny works on slide two, Janie works on slide three, collaborative edit access to that same master document, as if you passed out a whole stack of white papers and let students just set to work. What they work on is totally up to you. I mean, you can have question sets in there, graphic organizers. You can have them doing individual research or putting links and articles, embedding rich media, uploading videos, whatever, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a whole class working together on one shared deck of slides. And what I love about the Google Slides in that regard is that it makes students feel like they're part of something that's larger than themselves. Again, that endowed progress. When they see the signs of life starting to come to life around them, they're that much more inclined to want to keep pushing and keep developing and keep delivering. You could also consider taking this slide deck and saying, hey, the first five slides are for the red team. The next five slides are for the blue team. Which team will do the better slides? Go. It's not a very advanced game, but it's one of those themes, teams, and tasks. Your themes are colors, right? Red versus blue. Your teams are seven kids working on the first five slides, seven kids working on the second five slides. And the task is, can you fill out your five to a better degree than the others can? And let them look at each other's work. Let them, you know, copy ideas off of one another. Let them come up with ideas that say, hey, inspired by what I saw on slide two, what we have on slide six is better because dot, dot, dot. What I typically find is when you have a meaningful task and you set a clock to it, most of the students do a really good job of leaning into the work after a light bit of poking around and seeing what other kids are up to. They don't have time to poke around any further. They have an idea and they set to work with it. So I strongly recommend using Google Slides as a collaborative feature. Again, it's like Jamboard or Padlet, just much more robust. Be advised, however, that with shared edit access, I could go in and delete your slides, or you could go in and write over my slides. So just be aware that the universal changes to the templates can create some hassles or some hiccups. For number five, if you've not used Poll Everywhere, highly, highly recommend Poll Everywhere. It is a free extension you can add inside of Google Slides. Poll Everywhere works exactly like it sounds. You can insert a poll everywhere, multiple choice or an open response. You build out what you want your poll to look like. It takes 3 seconds, and then you hit the insert. So if you're five or six slides into a presentation and then you say, hey, I have a poll question here, you don't have to build out a comprehensive Google site or a Google form or a quizzes or a Kahoot that has to ask all of those questions in one spot. You can just ask a check for understanding type question that says, hey, of the five things we've covered so far, which of these magnificent seven are of most interest to you? Is it number one, the idea of a professionalism check? Number two, the idea of a Padlet? Number three, the idea of a Jamboard? Number four, the idea of a Google Slides? Or number five, the idea of a poll everywhere. And just like that, watching the election returns come in, you can kind of see the horse race of which of those vote getters is ahead or behind. The beauty of it is, I don't care which vote is ahead or behind, I just want to hear why kids said what they said. So I'll look at the numbers on the screen and I'll say, okay, I had 20 kids in class. I see that there's a total of 18 votes in. It looks like 7 people voted for Jamboard. Hey, who here voted for Jamboard? Can you raise your hand on the Zoom call? They feel like they've won the race, so they're proud to raise their hand. And then you call them and say, Bobby, can you talk about why you said Jamboard? That's a great choice, man. And then he'll unmute and he'll say all the different things. Or if you have somebody who's brave enough to be the one lone vote who voted from the behind, maybe there's only one person who voted for professionalism check. Like, ah, Janie, you said professionalism check. I agree with you. Why didn't anyone listen to you? Because what you had to say was really great. Can you say more? And sure enough, because they feel celebrated and cheered for, they'll reward themselves with trying a little harder. And they'll be rewarded with a harder question next time, which is a win all around for everybody. So those are my top five, like I said, number 6 and number 7 for our Magnificent 7 to take you home swimmingly. If you have not used Edpuzzle for number 6, have to use Edpuzzle. I can't say enough good things about it. You give a video, the video pauses whenever you want it to be paused in the video. Students can then answer questions embedded directly in the video, and then those questions will all dump to a spreadsheet, so you'll see how Billy and Bobby and Janie and Susie did. Really helpful. Can't say enough good things. Edpuzzle. By 2020, if you're an educator listening to a podcast and you're not on the Edpuzzle train, get on it. It is a perfect tool for virtual teaching, for emergency teaching, for hybrid teaching. You can do direct instruction. You can do pretty much anything you find on the web. Grab the video, embed questions. Cannot say enough great things. So that's number 6. And for number 7, because I want to keep this podcast under 18 minutes today if I can, we're talking about Kialo. Kialo is a game changer. It takes the idea of a Padlet or a Jamboard and it puts it on like social media steroids. This idea of every kid is allowed to chime in on a conversation, and then you take what they've chimed in on, and then they can upvote and rank and rate one another. It's a debate platform. It's as if I said, hey, let's draw a line in the sand. Are you on the left or the right? Students then put their virtual sticky notes onto the first level of questions, and then they can upvote one another's things. They can rate the effectiveness of one another's claims. When you post a new claim, it says, this is a repeat of what's already been posted. Are you sure you want to post it? And then you can put subtopics underneath those topics. So it becomes like a branching logic tree where the first level claim acts like the grandparent. The second level claim acts like the parent. The third acts like the grandchild. The fourth acts like the great-grandchild, and so on and so forth. So they're constantly drilling down, whether that's data or argument or rhetoric. Kialo, K-I-A-L-O. That is like my new favorite tool for 2020. Any class could make use of this, particularly rhetoric classes, English classes, debate classes, world language classes, politics classes, government classes, science classes that you're looking at, rich data sets. It just says, here's the prompt question. Do you agree or disagree? Let students make their comments, and then they can upvote and respond to one another's. You can likewise post in there a little bit of teacher feedback that says, nice work, Janie. Can you give me more details? And only Janie would see why you said what you said. It's a perfect tool for setting up for a Socratic seminar. And it really does take that same idea of the Padlet or the Jamboard or the Google Slides and the idea of being seen in the same space together. That professionalism check we talked about earlier. We're all working together. We want to make sure we're bringing our best selves. So can't say enough great things about Kialo. Okay, I promise 18 minutes. You got my Magnificent 7 to recap real quick. A professionalism check, a Padlet, a Jamboard, a Google Slides, a poll everywhere, an Edpuzzle, and a Kialo. There's 7 for you. I hope you're staying safe while I'm on this virtual teaching thing down here in North Carolina. I'm going to be here for at least a week, maybe a little longer, riding into the Thanksgiving break, trying to be safe, be healthy. I hope you are staying safe and staying healthy, that you are testing negative and you're staying positive in spite of all this craziness. We do have the election returns are in, and if nothing else, it seems as if there is a lot of settledness to some of those political races. Hopefully you're feeling safe and settled in what you're doing as well. And everything else is everything else, one day at a time, right? God bless you guys. Stay safe. We'll be back at it next week on Monday. Please hit me up on Twitter @mehanedu, and I'll see you next time. Thanks again.